the board established a the or adopted the right line, so-called right line test, as a single unifying standard to determine whether or not disciplinary action imposed by management for workplace misconduct was lawful or unlawful. And it's a framework for analyzing the employer's motivations. Under Rightline, the general counsel, the NLRB general counsel, has the burden of showing that Section 7 activity was a motivating factor for the disciplinary action. And if the general counsel meets that burden, and this is in the context of an unfair labor practice case against an employer, the burden shifts to the employer to prove it would have issued the disciplinary action or imposed the discipline even in the absence of the otherwise protected Section 7 activity. And the board determined that it adopted the right line standard in all of these different settings where previous analyses were applied, and also determined that right line would be retroactively applied. And one of the priorities that General Counsel Abruzzo has expressed is this is a case that she would like to overturn. And because it does make it more difficult for the general counsel to establish unlawful conduct or unlawful animus by the employer. So, Bob, what would be your perspective on that from the management perspective?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Rod. I mean, I have, from my management hat, I like it because it simplifies. You know, you had, as Rod very articulately pointed out, you have really three different standards. One applied to picket line contact, one applied to social media, and the other applied, for example, to outbursts by an employee and a manager. And there were three different tests, and oftentimes it got confusing, certainly got confusing for me in trying to defend these. But this does have the benefit of making it simpler. She has also noted in her memoranda that she wants to modify the right line test. So she's taken a two-pronged attack. I think one of the things that, and Rod, tell us what you think, one of the things that has gotten under the skin of a lot of the union side attorneys is that they have kind of heightened the first step of right line to not only does it appear now that you have to show that there's causal connection between the protected activity, but you almost have to show some animus, anti-union animus or anti-organizing animus by the employer, which I think has really heightened the burden. And I think that if she were to lower that, even if she weren't successful in getting this decision overturned, it would probably be very helpful for the union side.
Yeah, Bob, I agree. I think the general counsel's view is that if the disciplinary action is imposed because of, or at least in part motivated by, protected activity, that should be unlawful without regard to an otherwise clear showing of anti-union animus. Mm-hmm. And that's where Ms. Abruzzo wants to go. And I think time will show, and again, we don't know how successful she'll be, but she is very strategic. So this is going to be very interesting to follow in the next couple of years. Another significant issue that Bob also has touched on is the misclassification of workers. And it's been very contentious over the years as to whether employee misclassification is a standalone violation of the National Labor Relations Act. And of course, misclassification of workers, as we all know, has been a widespread legal issue and problem throughout the country in various settings for many years. And it's particularly prevalent in certain industries. And in the Velox Express case in 2019, the Trump board, in something of a departure from precedent, held that an honest misclassification of workers was not a violation of the statute. And VLOCs, like many of the significant Trump board decisions, was very controversial. It's still the law today. However, General Counsel Abruzzo has authorized issuance of a complaint against a company called Deco Logistics due to the misclassification of truck drivers as independent contractors. She's seeking in that case an order for reclassification of the workers and for the payment of any compensation for the harm suffered by those who were misclassified. Essentially, she's seeking to